look on the face of Christ, love everyone we meet. Why do we have to love everyone we meet? Why don't we just have a quick look at a scripture? And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to start with. We'll go from verses 1 to 3. Let's just scare the cheese out of us to start off with. It might get pretty rough going through this. I hate what we're going to do this morning because I hate having to do it for myself, but there's good news at the end. Anyway, so if you've got your Bibles there or your iPads or your phone, smartphones, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've got there, let's do the first three verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I am a man of faith for the hour. Oh, no, it doesn't say that, sorry. If I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love. That's what it says. I've just added sound effects. But if I have not love, I am nothing. What's this? Ooh. Thank you, Lord, for that sound effect. More sound effects. That should have been for the... Never mind. If I give away all I have and deliver my body up to be burned... Isn't that scary? If I give away... You know, actually giving away what you've got is a sign of love for people. You know, but if it's giving away, I've given away. But if I have not love, I am nothing. Well, sucks to that. Isn't that, that's strong stuff. Seriously, that is strong stuff. I try and jump from chapter 12 to chapter 14 and kind of miss this bit out. But it's strong stuff. If we think about that, that is strong stuff. We're nothing. And without love, we are nothing. Doesn't matter what. We can be the most anointed person. We can be religious up to here. We can be the most kind, blah, 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 outwardly. But if there's no love in our heart, if there's no motive, if it's not motivated by love, if there's no love moving what we do, we're nothing. Because if it's not love, it's something else that's motivating us to do things. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Now, I've got a few things to work on there, haven't I? It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Wow, 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 wow. Just imagine if we could be people like that. Here's an exercise. This is going to... It gets worse. Just trust me, it gets worse. Now, I'll leave that exercise for a minute. Why is love so important? Why is love so important? Well, it's almost a stupid question. Well, obviously, if there was no love, the world here would be hell to live in, wouldn't it? The only thing that makes things worthwhile in this planet is that people love. You and I were made to receive and to give love. That's the whole point we were made. The whole point. And I'll show you that in a minute from the scriptures. That's what we were made for. We were made. Love is the atmosphere of heaven. It's the atmosphere of heaven. It's what, when we get there, it's what we'll be breathing. At the end of this chapter 13, Paul says, these three things remain: love, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Why? Well, faith, you know, we're faith church. Gotta believe, brother and sister. Gotta believe. Who? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. There's another verse that says how important that is. Faith is important. Hope is important. The hope for that life, the hope, the guarantee, the sure hope of the salvation that Jesus has for us. absolutely important for us being able to live in this world. But that's the key. Faith and hope are for this world. Love is for eternity. We won't need faith in heaven. Won't need it. Won't need hope in heaven because all that we hope for, we will have. But love is the atmosphere of heaven. If we cannot love, heaven will be hell. We have to be transformed in love. Nice, easy message for us this morning. Who's delighted to be here this morning? Anyway, gets worse. Praise the Lord, I think. All right. The nature of the kingdom is love. I've already said that. Isn't that amazing? I said that. Righto. When you and I begin to just making sure I'm keeping up with where I am. When you and I begin to love people, no matter who we are, whether you're Christian, non-Christian, this is what I believe. I seriously believe this. That if you genuinely, sincerely, because Paul says, let love be sincere. Jesus talked about loving people all the time. He said, if you and I begin to love people, we are actually beginning to join with the mission of God. Because God does everything out of love. Does everything out of love. Jesus came because he loves us. Everything he does is motivated by love. So when we begin to love people in any way, shape, or form, we are joining in some measure, not fully, obviously, but in some measure, the mission of God. Because love, the aim of love is not me. If I'm loving, it's not me who the love is focused on. It's others. Love is always others-centered, not me-centered. So when we begin to love people, we're obviously beginning to enter into the mission that God has. God's mission is to love and touch every human being on the face of the earth. He wants to know, he wants people to know that he loves them. He wants to fill them with his love. And love begins to move as we do that. And so I say that anyone who begins to love anyone on the face of the earth, they join in with the mission of God. They might not be saved, might not be anything. But their hearts are beginning to walk in the heartbeat of God as we do that. And the mission of God is always beyond us, always beyond, always outside the four walls of the church, always beyond ourselves. So when we do, we're just stepping into what he wants, what his mission, to love everyone. And we're co-working, we're joining with him to do it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I think that's amazing. It's encouraging too. Because, you know, oh, we've got to get into the mission. Well, you know, watch it. Well, just love people. It's a good place to start. Good place to start. Love gives is always focused beyond self. Love is compassionate, is merciful, is just. It gives, does not take, it serves. Look at Jesus. He was compassionate, merciful, just. He gave of himself ultimately. He came to serve the people. He is our model. What does love look like? Looks like Jesus. Do you want to do something scary? Let's do something scary that will terrify the lives out of ourselves. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and read verses 4 and 7 again. Let's put, where it says love is patient, let's put Jesus is patient. Okay, we'll put Jesus there. Jesus, you with me? You got your books in front of you? Bibles? Those who've got them? Oh, it's up there. Glory. ESV, look at that. Even same version I'm reading from. Wonderful. Jesus is patient and kind. Jesus does not envy or boast. He is not arrogant or rude. He does not insist on his own way. Now, let me just qualify. Someone said, yes, he does. He's God, he commands us. Yes, he does, because he knows what's best for us, because his commandments reveal his purpose for our lives. You got that? What he commands us to do reveals to us his purpose for, in other words, what we were made for. With me? His promises reveal his nature, the commandments reveal his purpose for us. Just chucking that in there. But he does not insist. He is so gracious, he lets us either choose or not. He will not force himself on us. You don't want to do it? That's fine. Just remember, there's a consequence to every choice we make. There is always a consequence. Always. Can't avoid it. Unfortunately, which people in the Twitter, Facebook world live in their tiny little wee world, suddenly discover when they get out in the real world, oh, what's happening here? I don't understand this. Well, there's consequences to the way you choose to live. But he lets us make those choices. He will not force himself upon us. Just thought I'd throw that in there just in case there's a little voice saying, yeah, but how come? Jesus is not irritable or resentful. Jesus does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Yes? Anyone in agreement with that? Now I'm going to do something. You know where I'm going to go, don't you? Who's figured out what I'm going to do? Come on! Who's brave this morning? All right, put your own names there. And say, and do it out loud with me. Otherwise, well, no, you can do it quietly. There's a few things there I think I'm written. And Ian is here. Oh, dear. Actually, can we, well, let's flag this away and go into something else. Do we need to do this?
Yes.
What an idiot. Fancy dressing. All right, here we go. Ian is patient and kind. Well, you can kill the patience thing there, shouldn't I? Ian does not envy or boast. Are you marking yourself on this? Are you just sort of ticking off the boxes on your own? Pardon? You're all saying Ian. Thank you. Fine, you're supposed to say your own name. All right, you can do that. You can do that. And I'll just go right back at you. Right. Okay, all right, that's good. Oh, yes. I am not arrogant or rude. I do not insist on my own way. I am not irritable. We want to just flag that one. I do not reduce that wrongdoing, but rejoice with the truth. I bear all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. Woo! One person. Two? Any more? Is anyone here who scored 100% on that? Thank goodness. I feel better. I feel safe. Ah, dear, what did I do that for? Oh, and now, having said all that, if that isn't enough, the Lord then says, Matthew somewhere in the Beatitudes, you have heard it said to love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. Yeah. Oh, what? Seriously? Love my enemies? Love that cretin who destroyed my house and mangled my family and da-da-da-da-da? That's what he says. Blimey. Thank God for the grace of God. Ever we're not left alone. Why is it important? Why is it important? Because it's what he made us for. Because it is what he means for. Let's have another. We'll try and get it a little bit lighter here. Let's have another look at another passage. Turn to Luke 10, chapter 25. You will all know this passage. I'm sure you all know this off by heart. The story, you'll have heard it lots of times. We'll come back to that. Hope you're not feeling like you're complete and utter failures here this morning. That wasn't the goal. The goal was just to say, well, we've got a bit of distance to make up, but we'll get to that at the end. We'll get to that at the end. Some of us only got that much. Some of us have got... We don't measure ourselves against other people. We just measure ourselves against the Lord, and that means we'll probably already be always catching up. This is a passage, you all know this one, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And so we'll go through, just have a quick look at this, and then we'll get onto some hopefully practical kind of stuff. A lawyer stood up and put him to the test. Now, the lawyer there, just first of all, the lawyer wasn't a lawyer like we have sort of today. It was someone who called themselves an expert of the law, the Old Testament law, the first five books of the Old Testament. They were the experts on the law. You want to know what it says? I know. Want to know what it means? Yes, I know. I'm the expert. The lawyer. The lawyer stood up and put him to the test. Well, that's just dumb right there. I mean, so, can you imagine coming out? Well, Jesus, I want to test you. Testing the Son of God. What an idiot. But never mind. You know, he knew the scriptures but didn't recognize who it was that was standing in front of him. Didn't recognize it. That very book pointed to him and didn't recognize it. Never mind. I think that's funny. The lawyer said, come on, put him to the test. Never mind. Praise the Lord. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Good question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is a scary answer. And he said to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And the lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. In other words, that's what the law said. That's what the Old Testament summary of all of the Old Testament was basically that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love, oh my gosh, where are we up to? As yourself. And he said to him, you've answered correctly, do this and you will live. Isn't that amazing? That's why as we begin to love, we draw close to the mission of God. We draw close to the heartbeat of God. And our hearts are changed. And I think a person who chooses to love will soon have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Just believe that. I think that's true. All right. Isn't that an amazing verse? Why? Because that's the oxygen of heaven. That's the atmosphere of heaven. Now, here is a lawyer coming up to speak. Now, a lawyer, he's into the rules and regulations. He's into facts, figures, all this kind of stuff. He's into definitions of what all those words mean. So, of course, and it says, trying to justify himself. You're thinking, no. You know, because he said, what's inherited life? Well, if you do it, if you obey this, if you live this out, you'll live. And the lawyer's going, oh, shoot, that quite wasn't the response I wanted. So trying to justify himself. Well, who is my neighbor? This will trick him, you know, like, oh, this is clever. Do you know the interesting thing is Jesus did not answer that question. Yeah. He didn't say who his neighbor was. Didn't give a definition. Didn't spell it out. Isn't that interesting? Lawyers are always looking for loopholes. You know, if you've got a problem and there's someone, you know, the lawyer will check all the books to find a way through that. Ah, don't have to do that because this little thing says here. So this lawyer is looking for a loophole to avoid having to do this. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, you all know that, who doesn't know the story? Who does not know the story? I'll read it, go through it real quick. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. They stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest, now just quick background to the story. He has a lawyer, an expert of the law. Jesus' biggest problem at that time was not the ordinary people. It was the religious structure of the church. It was those in authority, those who knew the law, those who believed the law, da-da-da-da, all the ones who should have known better. And so this story is geared towards them. Because you look at the people who he points out, who comes along. What's his first pick? And by chance, a priest coming down. Oh, a priest. Well, a priest must know everything. Was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, the tribe of people who served in the temple, must surely be the most holy of everyone, the priests and the Levites. Oh, so holy people get to serve in the temple in the presence of God. And he walked down the other side. And then he says, but a Samaritan, some cretin from another group of people, total stranger, people that they despised. Just the background for those who didn't realize that Samaritans for the Jews would be, the Jewish people despised Samaritans. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, felt compassion, came to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, put him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the keeper and said, take care of him. Whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. And then Jesus says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell in the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy towards him. Then Jesus said, you go and do the same. So he didn't describe what a neighbor was. He said, this is what a neighbor does. This is what a neighbor does. Interesting, isn't it? You see, Jesus, when Jesus is teaching this, I believe what he's trying to say to these people, you are so full of the law, but you're missing the heart. You've missed the point. You've missed the spirit and the intent of the law. Remember, Jesus said that when the Spirit of God is poured out, he will take out of our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Ezekiel, I think, talks about he will put the law into our hearts. The law will become flesh in it, flesh in us. And Jesus said, this is the point of this. This is the point of loving people. This is what it's about. Being a neighbor. Don't try and get the, he's not a neighbor. Don't have to love him. See what it, you know, that's what you get the little trying to find the definitions. Oh, that's not my neighbor. You know, don't care what's happening to him. I don't have to love him because it doesn't fit the law. Says the Lord. That's not the point. The point was to be a neighbor to all in need. To anyone you come across, be a neighbor to it. There's no loopholes in that. Interesting, is there? There's no loopholes in that. You can't avoid that. No law, it's all, you know. In fact, Paul says circumcision. I was going to follow this later, but remember he said it in Galatians, he said, for circumcision or uncircumcision counts for nothing. The most important thing is faith expressing itself through love. It doesn't matter if you've got all the religious claptrap up to your eyeballs. Outwardly, the most perfect person, if there's no love, you're nothing. Absolutely nothing. You're nobody. In God's name, this is who's feeling lifted up as a result of all this. The sign of real conversion, the sign of true conversion, is that we will be transformed in love. How does this happen? Well, it happens because as we give our heart to the Lord, well, let me go back. One of the difficulties that the opposite to love is not fear, I don't believe. The opposite to love is selfishness. And everything we do is motivated by either love or by selfishness. If it's motivated by the Lord, it will be an action of love. But so we're one of those two things, love or selfishness. And to the degree in which we let those things rule our lives is the degree to which we are walking in the kingdom or not. However, we're not left alone in all this, thankfully. John, 1 John 4:10 says, for this is love. You've heard this verse. For this is love. This is love. Not that we first loved him, because we couldn't. We're cut off from him. We don't know who God is. How can you love someone you don't know? How can you love a person you've never met, you've never encountered before? You can't. It's impossible. You can't do that. You can do acts of kindness towards, but you can't love with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind someone you have known, you've not encountered in any way. But this is love, Jesus says, not that you first loved, but that he, not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. We have to encounter love before we can love in return. Romans 5, verse 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts, for hope doesn't let us down, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Yes? That's where it starts. That's where it starts. We cannot obey that verse that was quoted there, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and then love your neighbor as yourself, unless we first encountered the Lord's love for us. We have to be transformed up. We can do it in part in our own strength, but God has to meet us to be able to live it that way. That's what he wants to do. He wants to love through us. He wants to love the world through us. Jesus is not here in flesh. You and I are his body. You and I are his hands and feet and his mouthpiece. You and I are the ones he wants to demonstrate his passionate love, not just for us, but for the world around us. That's our job. That's our calling. You want to know what your call is? Yes, it's this. That's it. You all right? Everyone all right with us? You all? No one's wanting to run home. One of the things that I find difficult in a lot of the teaching around today, it's true, but it's not, is that you hear this teaching. I don't know if you've heard it. The scripture says to love the Lord, to love your neighbor as yourself. And then you hear the thing that said, and I'm sure you've heard this, but you can't love other people if you don't love yourself. Who's heard that? Wave at me if you've heard that. That's true, but it's not what the scripture is saying. It is not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is not saying, well, if you can't love yourself, you can't love other people, so you know, you still think, oh, well, I don't love myself. Do you know what I mean? It is not saying that. Because Paul talks about in Romans 13, verse 8, he says that the command is to love each other. If you do this, you will fulfill the law. What? Yes, it's loving people will fulfill the law. Matthew 7, of course, Jesus said, the scripture says that. It's the fulfillment of the law. The fulfillment of the law and the prophets is in loving people. Matthew 7 also says this, 7:12. Do unto others, remember that, the golden rule. You know the golden rule? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Or treat other people in the same way you would want them to treat you. And Jesus said, for this is the law and the prophets, because this is love in action. You with me? So, to love your neighbor as you would love yourself is to love someone in the same way you would want them to love you. That's what it means. It has nothing to do with how much you love yourself. You with me? The problem I find with the whole issue, it is true that if you hate yourself, you know you're going to hate other people. We react to other people the same way we feel about ourselves. There's truth in that. But I think it doesn't help us get free of it. If we know this is what love is, and we're not there, then we say, well, Lord, help me. I've got issues in my life that are preventing me from doing it. One of the things is I hate myself. Why do you hate yourself? And that's the thing you need to deal with. But you love your neighbor. It's not hard. If you are hungry, what do you want other people to do? Give you something to eat. If you're lonely, what would you like other people to do? Sorry? Invite your friend, become a friend. If you're in prison and lonely, what would you like people to do? Come and visit. It sounds like the sheep and the goat story, doesn't it? If you're without clothes and you've got no money to buy some extra clothes, what would be nice for people to do? Give you some of theirs. See, this is not rocket science, is it? This is what Jesus is on about. This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to be able to look at people and see a need and fill it. Now, in this thing, we've got, if you're hungry, if you're lonely, if you're sick, we know. So there's no excuse, really. There is no excuse. Oh, well, I'm such a broken person. I don't love myself. Well, actually, you've got nothing to do with that. If you know another person who needs something and you can help them, you've got the ability and the resources to help them, the Lord is saying, you do it. That's what it means. Because we know what love looks like. Because we know what we'd like people to do to us. You with me? What do I do? We'll figure out. If you were like that, what would you like someone to do? It's not hard to figure out. The doing it's the sticking point. You know, let's be honest, that's the sticking point. That's the hard bit. Actually doing what we know we should do. Love is a choice. Love is intentional. It is supernatural. It is more attitude, not feeling. Feeling's important. You need to have compassion. It talks about Jesus had compassion on the people. Compassion, key thing. It gives the power, gives the motivation. When we see a need, it's nice when compassion rises up in us because that's the driving force that helps us to do it. Actually, if there's no compassion coming up, we're probably not going to do anything. That's why we need a transformation of our heart. Now, a thing that we say to us, the little aim of the church is to love everyone we meet. Oh my gosh, seriously? Love everyone we meet? How on earth do you do that? Does that mean if I'm waiting for, you know, if I'm at the train station, you know, in London and there's people, there's people coming at me, I've got to love all those. No, everyone we meet. You know, if I'm at the, you know, where there's lots of people coming past, walking down the street and high street. No. Love everyone you meet. I think it means this. I haven't asked Colin, but this is my interpretation. Is that those who you come across, which a connection of some sort is made, or there's a movement of compassion for a person, that's who you love. How? Well, you can't love everyone. You with me? Well, let me go back and describe that. So you're at a place, and I've never met Mary before, and someone introduces, hi, this is Mary. I've made a connection. I've made a connection with her. If I discover that there's a need that she has that I can help her with me? You see a beggar on the street or something like this, you know, it's very difficult. And you hear people say, don't give them money, don't you da-da-da-da-da, because they'll just go and spend it on drugs. What I've been told, actually, is that go and ask them what they need. You want food? Go and take them to a restaurant and buy them a meal. I've said that to people. I said, do it. Would you like a McDonald's hamburger? Yes, please. Okay, so I should even buy a hamburger. Bring it back, get some friends here, mate. I said, thank you. You can do that. If you see a need, you do it. If you make a connection with someone, making a connection. But it is a choice. It is something we have to choose to do. It's something we have to be intentional so that every day, and we can ask the Lord for help. The Lord, I often, when I'm going to where there's a group of people who are, I'm tired, I don't want to go there, and I say, Lord, you'll have to help me to love people. Because right now, I don't give a rip. I mean, I don't really want to give a rip about anyone. Because I'm tired and I'm fed up with something, or you know, all those things that get in the way. Tiredness, energy levels, you know, big thing. Just damn up, your love doesn't flow. I have to say, Lord, help me. Or if I'm introduced to someone, here's another thing. Listening is one of the best things of communicating to a person, you know, without speaking, the fact that you listen to someone. I'm not a good listener. Half of you probably realize that. Don't share anything in the end, you'll forget it in two minutes' time. That's probably not very good. I'm working on it, seriously. But listening is one of the key things. I have to, if I'm talking to someone, just met someone, you know, like as I've just met Mary, and she's starting to talk about things, and my mind, whether it will be wandering off and think, what am I doing later on tonight? You know, I've got to slap myself and get myself back. I have to say, Lord, help me to love Mary as I'm meeting her. Help me to have your heart. Because you see, we have the mind and the heart of Jesus in us, do we not? We don't have to rely on our own strength. We don't have to rely on our own resources. We can say, Lord, help me. Do you know what I've found when that happens? He does. Just don't do it often enough. So that's what we can do. If we meet people, we say, Lord, help me to love this person. Be intentional. Make a decision. Lord, give me some of the day that I can do some act of kindness towards. Not expecting anything in return. You see, love softens people's heart, but they didn't hear the gospel. Doesn't matter. You might not be one of a whole lot of, but this person needs their heart softened before they can receive the gospel. And it may take, you know, 30 people to love that person, to give and to say, look, you know, someone loves you, someone cares, to soften that heart, to be able to receive. You follow? I used to think, oh, well, witnessing, you know, if you don't preach the gospel, how can they guess the gospel? You know, it was when I was at evangelism school. I sort of realized it's just nonsense. Sure, people have to hear, because faith comes by hearing, but loving people softens people's heart. You want to turn an enemy into a friend? Serve them. Serve them. That's a separate story. I haven't got time for that right now. We'll get on with it. So it's an attitude, not a feeling, though feelings are involved. It's a choice. It's intentional. It's supernatural, especially in the way that the Lord wants us to do it. It's a willingness to do good to people, to honor people, even if people in their own estimation don't deserve it, even if we think they're scum on the earth. They are important to Jesus. We honor them simply because they're made in the image of Christ. Even though that image might be totally blurred, every human being is of ultimate significance to God. Therefore, we must honor people. They are a creation of the Lord. They deserve our honor, not just because of who God has made them, but because we are honorable people. And honorable people honor others. With me? That's love. It's a part of love. Forgiving people is another sign of love. I'm getting probably rushing ahead. Honor people, serve people, give. That's the fruit of love. Let's go on to try and zoom on to how we do this. Some ideas. Like just some more blockages. Inconvenience. Sometimes just loving people is just plain inconvenient. I've got other things on my life to do, I want to do. And sometimes they're real things. Life is very busy. Sometimes we have to work hard. You know, our lives are filled with things that are important for us to survive. You know, Jesus talked about that third soil was filled with the cares and the worries of this life. Nothing wrong with worries. There's genuine needs that we have to, but the Lord says, don't let them consume you. These can be stumbling blocks to just taking that time to love a person who needs love. One of the worst things, of course, is arrogance and self-conceit. I think Proverbs 4:8 Six things my soul hates, says the Lord. Seven things are an abomination to me. Interesting to read. I'll see if we can find the scripture. The very first thing that God hates. Didn't realize that God hated things. It says, love does not rejoice in the truth. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. There are things that God doesn't like. The first thing, the very first thing on that list is a haughty look. Pride and arrogance. That self-conceit that looks down your nose at another person. You are less than me. Abomination to God. It says God opposes the proud. Opposes the proud. Folks, we've got to guard that arrogance in our heart, that sense of which I am better than. Because that will damn our heart and it damns love from flowing. We cannot afford to look down our noses at anyone. And I speak this to myself. I do it real easy, unfortunately. Remember Chris Valiton? You know Chris Valiton? Chris Valiton, director of BSSM. He got up the front. Chris meets with a couple of the other leaders at Bethel, and he was sharing with us about Dan Farrelly, who he meets every week when he's around, because he just, it's not important why he meets. And they were chatting, and Dan said something, and Chris says to him, seriously, Dan, he said, have you never met someone that you don't like? And Darren says, no, not yet. And Chris is going, what? I meet people I don't like every year. There he goes, like that. And I thought, I can relate to that. I meet people I don't like, you know, and I don't want to love them. I just, they're offensive to me, and I think they need to, you know, I just, no, that just, I'm not like Jesus enough. Pride and arrogance, looking down our nose, thinking other people are less than. It's insidious. It's the root of all sorts of things. We have to love people no matter their creed, no matter their background, no matter their skin color, no matter anything. Sex? Doesn't matter. I'm not talking about sex. You know, we love people no matter their sex. I'm talking about having sex. Hope you got that. Let's move on. Arrogance and pride. Unforgiveness. Here's another one. Unforgiveness. If you and I are harboring unforgiveness in our heart to anyone, that unforgiveness will become a seed in our lives, your heart and mine if I allow it, that will form a dam, a wall around our heart, and love will not flow. Will not flow. No matter how wonderful you say, if there's unforgiveness in there, dams our hearts. And the only person who suffers is not the person who you're hating. It's not the person who's done harm to you. They're fine. They're off running around doing something else. They're not upset, but they're not hurt by your whatever. The only person that's suffering is us if we harbor unforgiveness to anyone. And that's tough, because sometimes just people don't deserve to be forgiven. But unforgiveness dams up our hearts. All right, it's just another one, just a bit of fun there. That'll do. I've already talked about energy levels. The good news is this, is that the Lord knows we are co-workers with the Lord. The Lord wants to fill us with his power, fill us with his love, and we can ask for help. And it is possible to look on the face of Christ, to love everyone we meet, and live like heaven is near. We just have to be surrendered, yielded, and say, Lord, I'm willing, show me someone. So I want to challenge all of us today to find someone. Let's have a go every day. Is there someone today, Lord? Show me someone that I can love somehow, that I can touch. Mother Teresa just said, smile at your neighbor. I mean, obviously, don't go. Not what I'm meaning. But you know what I mean? So he said, just start small. Smile at someone. You know, if someone gives you a smile, you just want to say, g'day, how you doing? You know, that can lift a person's day. That's love in action. Just smile at someone. Anyway, I'll finish that there. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Who's are you alive still? The fire of God. When we talk about the fire of God, who's heard about the fire of God? Who's felt the fire of God burning in them? Any one way? Not too many. Not a lot. Do you know what that feels like in the end? Passionate, uncontrollable, wild, over-the-top love burning in our hearts. That's what it is. And God wants to pour that into us because he wants to pour it through us. And if we're willing, he will pour it into us and pour it through us. In fact, what happens is the more you love, the more you get. As you're doing it, as you continue to pour love out, he will pour more in. I think that's why people like Heidi and Roland are so full, because they've given their lives, they've sacrificed their life, given up everything to go and serve the poorest of the poor. And they live in this realm of continual love because that's what they're pouring out. It's possible even here in England, I think. Has to be. Surely has to be. Love it. Look in the face of Christ. Love everyone we meet. Live like heaven is near. Next sermon will be Live Like Heaven is Near. Whew. 2 weeks' time. I'll preach on that one. I hope this has been all right. It was not one that I was looking forward to preach. I'm looking forward to preaching the next one, not this one. But let's have a go. Who's on for having a go at this? Let's ask the Lord. Lord, show us someone to love. Genuinely, love must be sincere, said Paul. It has to be sincere, expecting nothing in return. It's the atmosphere of heaven. It's breathe in the atmosphere of heaven and live it out to everyone we meet, everyone we meet. Even if you can't do much, let's attempt to bless someone with love this week. Let's go for every day, but at least once. All right, you with me?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Why don't we stand? Oh, praise the Lord. I hope you're encouraged and fired up rather than discouraged, but I hope you're fired up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful, wonderful love, that you so loved the world. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall have eternal life. Jesus, you gave up heaven for us. You counted something, not something that you needed to wanted to cling to, but you came, became like us, carried our burdens, carried our fears, carried our sicknesses, carried our sins, took our place on that cross that we should have taken, demonstrated your love for us, and you've in turn poured your love into our own hearts. We come to you today, Lord. We say, Lord, use us, fill us with your love. Help us to be your hands. Help us to be, to go where you'd have us go. Help us to be your heart. Equip us, enable us, strengthen us. Fill us to be, to say the words of love for people, to be the vessels that you flow through, that the world may see that there is a God who loves, that there is a God who cares. Because we care, because we're filled. We want to be part of your mission, Lord. We want to be part of your mission to the world, to see this world saved, to see this world changed. Transform us, Lord. Spirit of God, we desperately, desperately need you. Fill us afresh with your fire. Let the fire fall, Lord. Let the fire fall. Let the fire come. Let the fire come. Transform us, Father. Transform us, Spirit of God. Let it come. Let it come and come. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.